News Talk 1340 KROCAM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell. Rochester Today, Tuesday, beautiful Tuesday morning with Tom Ostrom. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Andrew.
Hope you had a good weekend.
Yes.
Excellent. Beautiful day today.
Yeah.
Did you walk over today?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Got some fresh air. I was completely surprised yesterday evening when I finally got out of here and went outside and went, oh, this is great. Because the day didn't start out all that great. It just later in the day, it just improved so rapidly. It was wonderful.
Oh, good.
And it looks like today is going to be just fantastic throughout the day. So everybody hopefully will enjoy it.
Good.
Mailbag time?
Well, Juan is from Criticus, but I'm going to start national news with him because
okay.
He gets right into some issues for us in the mailbag. Richard Crom and Sharon Crom, president and program director of the Rochester Civil War Roundtable, they've done a wonderful job there. And hello, Tom, he says. We were listening to your radio show while working on some things. What a great job you and Andy do, giving us conservatives a voice and informing us politically and locally. And the two of you always cover a range of important subjects in a well-versed, informative manner. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, thank you.
And then he clued us in on some things that are coming up at the History Center. And that'll be in July, 2 days in July. And the Croms will be working with Lisa Baldus, the executive director there. And I'll just say this. They'll be calling in about it. I invited them to. Maybe they'll be doing interviews with us. But it's a living history fair they're working on. And it'll be demonstrations of 19th century crafts and skills and living daily lives with the actors. And then they'll have Civil War reenactors and military weapons and battlefield reenactments and encampments, the young and old, he said, will see what our forefathers endured in their service to preserve our country, and that'll be July 25, 26. We'll have a lot more to say about that over time, or they'll be calling in about it, but we thank the Croms for all they do.
Go out there and see what life was like before cell phones.
Well, that's right.
And Wi-Fi.
That's right.
Cable TV.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And then Dan Brandt, our IOTA farmer, he's very active. He's been to Representative Druskowski's sessions, and he's been on Agri News, and he was sent by the Agribusiness Fraternity to Washington, D.C., with the American Soybean Association. He'd be a great interview, too, for you and Rich, but what he's informing us about is, and he's been involved in this fight to lower property taxes, and he said it's just terrible, and he gives the percentages of how much more the farmers pay than townspeople pay and how it's cutting into their profits and making it an unprofitable year. Corn prices, all these things, and he's able to explain these things with his vast knowledge and his articulation skill. I invited him to call in when he wants and inform us about all this, but and he said I can share on the air even his private finances in the farm community. But he's very knowledgeable, and it's a serious thing, and he's dealing with local representatives and the legislature, and it's a tough way to make a living, even though he said, I love it, I'm lucky to have it, and say hi to your listeners.
It is one of those difficult situations. You've got small communities who have a very small industrial base, most cases. You look at a smaller town and you're lucky if you have maybe a grain elevator there or maybe some sort of agricultural processing business or perhaps even a small, it's not large scale. So your property tax base is largely a residential property tax base with a little bit of commercial. And then the outside of the town itself, you're going to have the farmland and the farm buildings. And in the cases of these school referendums, he's right. A huge share of the cost of these school expansion projects falls on the farmers
Sure. Because
of the way their property is classified. And it's always an argument and a difficult one because ultimately the cost of these projects is going to land someplace. And
yeah.
So which group has the most votes
Sure. In
most situations? Those Sure. Who own the homes, not those who own the farms.
That's right. And these farmers are, I don't care what specialty they're in, crops or ranching cattle, they've got to be, first, hardworking, energetic people. And they've got to be smart to manage very complex businesses And they've got to be high tech. The farming technology is computers and everything else, and crops. I marvel at them. And I've been to his farm and other farms, a lowly city slicker. And I just, you know, they're the kind of people, the old fashioned, doggone backbone of America.
Well, the sad thing, too, Tom, if you want to really dive into this subject, is that some of our tax policies and other government policies, regulations, have encouraged the demise of the family-owned farm and have encouraged many of the folks who have been in this business and their families have been in this business for generations to sell off or rent off their land to these larger, you know, they call them corporate farms, but, you know, oftentimes they're groups of families together forming them, at least in this part of the world. But there are other places where it is. It is actually owned by a company in the East or West Coast who come in, and they hire out people to run the farm, and they rent the property or they own the property. But in a lot of ways, it's these actual tax and government policies that have encouraged the direction of that.
That's right. And not only do they have to deal with the vagaries of supply and demand in local marketplaces, but state regulations, federal regulations, climate, the vagaries of climate, and foreign policy gets them with trade agreements and subsidies and everything. It's a tough business, but those that love it. And he says, "I love what I do." But he's a fighter.
Is he a dairy farmer or not?
He crops.
I was going to say those. I'm please don't take this the wrong way, but the dairy farmers, you guys are kind of crazy.
If he can call in and correct me, I've seen his crop farms and his machinery, but.
The idea that
those that do dairy and the cattle, wow.
Because, you got to take care of those cows.
Yeah.
365 days a year, multiple times per day. And if you don't have somebody to do it, you're stuck doing it.
Right. And pigs aren't easy to deal with either.
It's the dairy farmers.
And the chickens and the turkeys. Yeah. Minnesota, leading turkey producer.
I went to school with some people who grew up on dairy farms. And so, you know, they were part of the routine. And they would, you know, here I'm the spoiled city slicker, and they'd come into school, and they'd already been up for a number of hours at that point.
Sure. And Mary taught in Nevada for a while, and she dealt with the sheep farmers and the cattle ranchers and their children, and they'd come to school early in the morning, like you said, dressed in their little clothes, and then she'd notice that they had odor of food, and she'd say, "What'd you have for breakfast? Eggs, steak, potatoes." You know, they got to get up early and work hard. And she said they were so well behaved and so decent.
282-1234 is the number. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey there, Andy and Tom.
Morning,
Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, I grew up on a dairy farm, and I was herding cattle with a horse when I was 8 years old.
Oh yeah.
And look what happened to me.
And you
eats you guys.
Yep, and you became an IBM techno genius.
You got out of the farm, didn't you?
Oh, he went away.
He went away, okay. We're going to take our break. It's 18 past 10 o'clock, KROC AM. It's 49 in downtown Rochester. Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. What a beautiful day to take the stroll right down 4th Street, go across the bridge, just past Mail Park to the Root Beer stand, and have yourself a wonderful lunch. The world-famous Roscoe's Fish Fry is available. Enjoy the fish fry is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. And 4th Street Southeast by the park, the sides we always talk about, the burgers, the sandwiches, the root beer. But, of course, it's the ribs that they're so famous for. You can go inside and get warm, too. They got a little space and a little counter for you. And the catering needs for the family get-togethers and the graduations, the birthday card, they'll remember your birthday and send you a discount. But the environment, too, the ambience, the 1950s, the food smell, and always a friendly staff.
That's Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. The 4th Street location of the Root Beer stand is open. News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Sunshine today, 60 degrees. Low tonight, 40. We could have a high of 70 tomorrow. And looks like the thunderstorms would be tomorrow night with a low in the upper 40s and then back up to about 60 on Thursday. Right now, again, it's 49 at KROC AM. I'm Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom. on the Rochester Today Show. 282-1234 is our number, and you want to start with?
Nat Kritikus will start us off in national news. Oh, by the way, Hillary Clinton, I think she's in trouble with a lot of this. Evidently, we now know that she absolutely cleansed her server after the State Department asked her to send them files relevant to her policies and to the State Department.
You know, as abhorrent as that is,
yeah,
from her move, or for her, it's a smart move by her.
Oh, sure it is. But and then she has aides that she dealt with by email, yeah, sending things, so we'll see if they get subpoenaed. But it tells people all they need to know about the Clintons. But here's
at this point, by wiping her server, she commits no crime. It's her server.
Well,
yeah,
that remains to be seen.
Okay.
I've seen Judge Napolitano on Fox had a different take,
okay,
on what she's violated, but
she'll
get away with it. Here's Kritikus. He said, and now the censoring Clintons are telling journalists, when you write about Hillary, you can't use these words. And he said, all these words apply to her. She even knows what she is. And it says it's an apt description of her character to censor, try to censor journalists. They should be outraged. But here are the words. Don't use these words or it's sexist, they say, about Hillary. Polarizing, calculating, disingenuous, insincere, ambitious, inevitable, entitled, overconfident, secretive, will do anything to win, represents the past, out of touch. If you say any of those things, you're sexist. And Kritikus said she should have added the word corrupt.
Well, I will give her one thing. I will say about that list, that those are words that probably should be used in commentary and editorial functions instead of a news report,
unless they're talking about Republicans. But yeah.
Okay, good point.
Senator Harry Reid, he was the Senate Majority Leader, a Nevada man, for years. Then the Republicans took over the House, but he still was leader of the Senate. Now, recently, the Republicans took over the entire Congress, so Harry was reduced to minority Senate leader. And a few months ago, he said he was going to run again. Now, Harry Reid has decided that he won't run again. Some say his accident while he was working out is part of it. Others say his polls are down, and his next contest with a Republican showed his polls were down. Harry Reid says, my retirement has nothing to do with any of those things. But I say kudos to Harry. He was a master obstructionist. He wouldn't let Republican bills and amendments come to the floor. And yet they called Republicans obstructionists. And he did it to protect Obama, President Obama, who then wouldn't look so foolish vetoing everything. And he protected him. But he made the Senate unworkable and unrespected, I think. And whether it's age or fatigue or injuries, he's quitting. Senator Chuck Schumer, the more personable New York senator, may take over. He's more personable, and he talks with Republicans more, but he's an ideological attack dog, too. So we'll see where the Senate goes. But whatever Harry Reid does or whatever his position, he prevailed, and the inept Republicans could never cope with it or dominate him. And I just hope Republicans get more effective leaders who can speak and argue and defend and win. But anyway, goodbye to Senator Reid.
He was often described as a master of the procedures of the Senate.
Parliamentarian.
He knew every little minuscule rule and was able to use them as weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the legacy of his reign as Senate Majority Leader will ultimately be a negative, largely, I think, because of what he did with the filibuster rule by, in certain cases, invoking what they term the nuclear option of erasing the 60-vote majority and knocking it down to a simple majority in order to push through the appointments of various. And I think that may... It's always the case. In our country, nobody, and I'm referring to the parties, holds power forever. It always goes back and forth. There's going to be an ebb and flow to this. There's always an ebb and flow to the electorate and the mood and the demographics of the country. And eventually, the Democrats will no longer hold the White House. And eventually, they will there'll be a shift of power in this country, and those rules will be in place, and they will be used
by
the next majority.
If Republicans are smart enough, the Republicans will also be criticized by Democrats and the media for using them. And I think Harry retired because he lost Congress. Now he said, Senator Cruz closed down the government or tried to. That would hurt Republicans. Well, no, it didn't. They took the House and the Senate. I think that was part of it, too, that he lost Congress. Maybe he's just tired. Other people say he's being investigated by federal agencies because of his smarmy land deals in Nevada, his connections with the mob, and his lawyer's sons, who are up to their neck in some negative things, too. And sometime the Las Vegas media covers that a little bit, and sometime they back off, or Senator Reid's office tells them to. But there's some reasons why he quit so suddenly, and we'll see what they are.
But there are indications that there's a pretty decent shot, according to some polling, that the Republicans could gain back the Senate. I mean, the Democrats could gain back the Senate in 2016, depending on what happens.
Well, that's a long way away, depending on what happens.
Yeah, there's a lot that can happen in between now and then, but oftentimes these gains that are made in the midterms, especially on the Senate side, when it's very close, can be erased during a presidential race. And right, and that's going to be dependent on which candidate each party puts up there.
I think the Democrats have a very weak bench, and Hillary's in trouble more and more, her credibility and her image. And some Democrats are talking about running, O'Malley of Maryland and maybe some others. But right now the Republicans have the strongest bench. But like you say, politics, a year or two is forever.
And you wonder as well as what message will be carried through into the 2016 campaign. Which issue will be the hot issue? Will it be the Middle East and a potential continuation of military involvement? Will it be immigration? Will it be the economy? Yeah. There are indications of yet another bubble bursting potentially in the stock market, and there are some low-hanging clouds out there as far as the economy is concerned. Oh. You could potentially have a downturn coming up.
And you mentioned immigration. I read a group of Hispanic conservative Republicans. You mentioned there are a lot of things Hispanics do and represent that should make them amenable to Republican philosophies, families and economics and everything, and religion. They're religious. There's a group of, I don't have it with me now, it's a long article, go off the top of my head, that'll be dangerous. But there's a group of Hispanics who say the press doesn't cover us, we are tired of broken borders too, we are American citizens, we don't like the crime, we don't like the cost, we don't like the impact on wages, we're Americans, we want stability, we want legality, and we want control of our borders, and we want a good economy, and we want jobs. And we're tired of being ignored and having, and I'm a Republican, the leader said, we're tired of Republicans being demeaned and us being demeaned or being called non-Hispanic. Not all of us are in the Democratic fold with their philosophies.
But,
and it was a Hispanic group. He
right.
said, a lot of us are like this, but you're afraid to speak out because of getting demonized. That's very effective what the liberals and Democrats do, call people names.
Boy, you just said a lot because unless...
They did?
No. Unless... Nothing can change unless people have the courage to speak out, despite, as you refer to as the Saul Alinsky tactics, to stand up, because it is bullying. That's what it is. It's been deployed by both sides in political fights, but right now very effectively used by one side more than the other. And until people are willing to stand up and look the bully in the eye and say, I don't care. Call me that. Use your words. I don't care. Go ahead and deal with it that way. Otherwise, it's a very effective tool until people don't give in to it.
Yeah.
Because that's what bullies do. Well, we're going to take a break for news.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk more after the news break. We can take your calls as well. 282-1234. It's 49 in the downtown. Kim Davids in the news center. He's coming up next. News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell, Rochester Today, with Tom Ostrom. 282-1234 is our phone number. Thomas, we do have a caller on hold, so we'll do that before we jump into the next topic. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
I'd like to bring up a fact that I have not heard discussed at all by the media, with this Hillary Clinton email, you know, related to the server.
Okay.
During Watergate, there was a Supreme Court decision, the United States versus Nixon, that was a unanimous Supreme Court decision related to the Watergate tapes. And essentially what the Supreme Court said is no person is above the law, which would be President Nixon. That would also translate to Hillary Clinton. And also, any document or record that is created by a president, and this would also be Secretary of State, any document created is property of the federal government, not property of the individual that creates it. For instance, Nixon said, wait a minute, I bought the tape recorder, I bought those tapes, that's my property. I don't need to turn it over, you know, to the Senate Watergate Committee. So, you know, I'd like you, Andy, and Tom to please comment on that. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Well, excellent, excellent point. And I'm just going to, you made me think, as usual, caller, about this. I taught a life class on the Nixon years for the life program. I'm teaching another one coming up. I'll advertise that next time. And I'd mentioned that what Nixon did compared to this contemporary president, you know, it seems to diminish in character, and that Nixon should have erased the tapes or burned the tapes, and he'd have been better off. You know, boy, some people got irritated with me, but the point is that Nixon didn't burn his tape. They had an 18-second gap or something, or minute gap.
Which might have been actually more costly than the content of the tape, because
yeah,
it just the speculation it created.
But even he didn't destroy the tapes. Even he had enough respect for judicial decisions that he didn't do it. He should have, and Hillary did. So along with what our caller's saying, some say, look, there are a lot of ways that she's violated the law. Others say, there's nothing to it, you can't prove it, and she skates.
Well, I think either point's moot, because the server's wiped clean. It doesn't matter. She did what you said Nixon should have done, because she is going to risk that it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. and it's oftentimes a good strategy. I mean, I'm not supporting what she did. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that from her point of view, yeah, it's the best path, because now if there was any incriminating evidence on that server, it's gone, and it's all going to be speculation at this point, because there's just absolutely no
way to prove it. But don't you think articulate Republicans make it a character issue with that whole Clinton history, or will that wash away by then?
I don't know. It has the potential for it. It'd have to be done correctly, and I don't have a whole lot of confidence in their ability to do it correctly. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Morning.
Hi. You know, this. I've got a couple of things today. The first one is this Indiana law that's getting all the flack.
The religious protection law, yeah.
Unless I'm wrong,
freedom.
People protesting against it would force a Jewish caterer to handle a skinhead's Hitler's birthday party.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. We'll take your word for it. Tell us more.
The other thing is, the Iran non-treaty, obviously it's non-treaty because it doesn't require Senate interference, that's on its deadline today. That only indicates that our community organizer president and his crew couldn't organize an American Legion meat raffle.
Tell me, why isn't it a treaty? Some members of the Senate are saying it is, and if it isn't, it should be, because our armament agreements in the past have been treaties. How can they claim it isn't a treaty? Why isn't it
a
treaty?
Treaty because it doesn't require Senate approval.
That's because he's saying it's not a treaty. How can he get away with saying it's not a treaty?
The only sanctions the president can ease are those issued by executive order. The sanctions that are imposed by Congress, he has no authority to lessen those at all. So the only thing he can promise to the Iranians is an easing of the sanctions that were directed by executive action.
Sure, so he can still get in trouble. But, caller, why isn't it a treaty? Just because the president says it isn't?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's... it is because I say so.
But if you have... if you have a Congress unable or unwilling to challenge the overstep of executive authority, He can do this. That's the way it is. I mean, if you, and I don't think our founding fathers envisioned
in the Senate.
Pardon?
Last time I looked, they changed the leadership in the Senate.
But
so
they don't have
a different viewpoint there.
But apparently, they don't have enough votes to counteract a veto, and they don't.
However.
They haven't seen a veto and tried to organize
that. Very good point.
That's a good point. And several dozen Democrats have joined Republicans in another letter, and this they sent to the White House saying, and Democrats wrote the letter, by the way, we expect to be part of this treaty or whatever it's called and have input into it. And these were Democrats that signed this letter, not just the Republicans. So we'll see what happens.
It'll be fun.
Here's my view on what's going to happen here. I think that we're being played, and I think what will happen is the Iranians will obfuscate as much as they can. They'll pull as many concessions as they possibly can from the United States and its the group of six or whatever they want to call them. And at the last minute, they're going to say, nope, not going to do it. And they'll paint it in such a way that, look at the evil West. We were willing to make a deal, and it'll be a complete disaster for the West as far as relations with the Arab. Well, it's not the Arab world, actually, with the Muslim world, because once again, those warmongers in the West. And I think I just the way I read it, I think we're being played.
Sure,
the Arabs have a whale of a lot of differences with the Persians.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. They do. And Iran is expanding in the Middle East, and we're helping them do it. And I think the foreign policy of Obama has destroyed the Middle East, set one side against the other. The Saudis don't trust him. The Egyptians don't trust him. And I hope the Republicans don't back off like they did Benghazi in the next campaign and point this out.
And the iron, well, I hate to use that term too often, but who comes out the winner in all of this conflict?
We do know.
The Iranians gain influence and power with it throughout the region.
Sure.
We do know what Hillary would do with a 3 a.m. Phone call now.
Yeah.
What difference does it make?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what she says about everything. Good point.
There's your commercial.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Good work.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I want to cover a few more national items.
Okay.
I think we'll be able to get to more foreign policy. We did here, and I'm glad it came up. Another duplicitous Senate Democrat is Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. Senator Dick Durbin. He stood up on the Senate floor, and he said Republicans are sending a black candidate for Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, to the back of the bus because they won't bring her name up for nomination. That hypocrite Durbin, and I don't remember any Republicans standing up. Don't they have a negative research squad? No one stood up and said, Senator Durbin, you hypocrite. When George Bush wanted Michael Estrada for his attorney general, you voted against him. He was Hispanic. But you said he wasn't Hispanic. He was a white Hispanic and therefore not a Hispanic. And just like you say, black conservatives are not really black. Durbin voted against a black female appeals court nominee because she was conservative. He voted against Condi Rice for Secretary of State because she's conservative. He voted against Clarence Thomas, a black man, because he was conservative. So he's the guy that's against and putting minorities in the back of the bus. And I don't remember anyone standing up on the floor and say, you hypocrite, shut your mouth and listen to this. And David Brooks, New York Times, he's supposed to be a conservative. He says Cruz is too smart. He's dangerous.
Too smart.
Peggy Newman said Cruz is unqualified because he's only been a senator for a brief time. She voted and she admitted it for Barack Obama, who'd only been a senator for a brief time.
Okay, but back up.
God, wow. Jeez, why can't our... go ahead.
Too smart.
Yeah. Dangerous, then. He won't listen. He won't compromise. Well, like President Obama.
Too smart.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually a smart and intelligent person is capable of taking in other viewpoints and using them to shape their actions and their opinions. That is usually a sign of intelligence. Okay, whatever. That's beside the point. Back to the Loretta Lynch vote. Has nothing to do with race. This entire vote is being held up by the abortion debate. And for them, Durbin, to get up there and give that little speech is so disingenuous.
Yeah.
But you know what? It works.
Sure it does.
He sends the message without actually talking about what's really going on here is you have a bill that was designed as a to combat sex trafficking, the trafficking of humans. Now, attached to that bill was language that would forbid the use of federal dollars for abortion. And I'm not sure how widespread it was or the exact language it was, but it was amended. And thereby, a whole bunch of Democrats said, we're not going to support this legislation, even though prior to that, it had wide bipartisan support. So the entire thing, and the Republicans now are saying, you know, because this is brinkmanship like usual in Washington, D.C., we're not going to act on your AG nomination until you act on the sex trafficking bill. And that's the way it's going to be because they're trying to force their hand on the abortion debate. And it has nothing to do with race because the fact of the matter is that she will end up winning this nomination when it does eventually come up for a vote.
Well, yeah, she will. Although I wish the Senate would fight back when they're in control on some of these nominations. Democrats shot down
Republican
nominees.
She has wide support, though, even among Republicans.
Yeah, well, they should fight. And the House should fight with their power of the purse, and defund certain things and threaten to defund, whether the public likes it or not. They have to fight. The Democrats go for broke. They are tough. They are united. And Republicans back off, want to be liked, want to compromise. Boehner shows some backbone a little bit, this Speaker of the House, lately, especially in foreign affairs. But and McConnell is just practically useless. He could call you up on the phone and tell you your house is on fire and you'd fall asleep in the middle of the message. It's so frustrating that the Democrats prevail all the time, and they are now that they've lost control of the Congress. And if our side fights, it's called disingenuous or it's called mean-spirited. Democrats fight and unite, and it's called principle. I get so frustrated, Andrew. If it weren't for you being so nice, I'd quit the radio show. I get so sick of studying these things. Gosh.
Okay, the abortion politics of it.
Yeah.
Because this has been an underlining theme, decades. It's been it's been there. It's always there. It's presidential politics. It's at the congressional level. Sometimes it's even at the county level. This fight is over abortion, over this bill. Let's fight it out. Let's have the vote. Let's get done with it. Vote it up or down. I don't care.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, because you do. You take sides on this. It is obviously an important issue for Americans. This thing has been going on since 1973. It's been going on before that because 1973, of course, was the milestone of the Supreme Court ruling. And since then, it's been fought through the courts that are the legislative. This is a legislative decision. This has nothing to do with the courts at all. It has nothing. It is, will the federal government pay for the procedure? Have it out. Duke it out. One side wins, one side loses. Let's get it over with on this question. But they won't. They're all going around the edges of this thing.
And why won't they, Andrew?
Because they won't take sides on it. Because it's such a money maker for both sides of them. You have as long as the issue is in the ring, you're going to have one side pumping money and the other side pumping money. And as long as you can keep arguing about it, guess who benefits on the fundraising?
Well, you might have just explained why there's no action on the immigration bill. Both sides are funded by their interest groups.
Exactly.
They want to keep the issue going.
Once again, corruption. And that's, I'm sorry, I'll call it that. Straight out corruption. That's what it is. We have to take a break. You got me all frustrated.
Good.
It's 51 in the downtown at 10 minutes away from 11 o'clock. Our friends, downtown Rochester at Carol's Cup and Carol's Corn, subway level of the Kaler Grand Hotel, have delicious treats for you. Obviously, they have the Chicago Mix popcorn for you. No brainer. But they also have a bunch of other really nice stuff. Don't do that, Tom.
Yep.
I know you're down there often getting the other stuff.
Yeah.
Where I'm just boring and predictable.
Oh, well,
Chicago makes popcorn.
You're neither, but you always like when I say confectionaries and sundries are there, and a fun staff to go into. And coffee, I pump the coffee out of those big coffee pots, and I can even work it and do the levers myself, although Red sometimes has to help me put the cover on the cup.
He goes, what are you doing over there, Ostrom?
Yeah, they do. They tease me and say, watch out. But Carol's Corn, gourmet popcorn shop and batches of fresh popcorn all day, local and national clients. But think of popcorn. You got regular white if you're watching calories. You got caramel, caramel with cashews, cheddar cheese, and other varieties too. And of course, you can contact them by phone, 287-3307 or 07, or Pat Carroll at carrollscorn.net. Talk to Jana or Pat or Red on the phone, or carrollscorn.net and really find out things.
Facebook too. Really easy. Go to Facebook, type it in, Carroll's Cup, Carroll's Corn. Like them. You'll find out everything you need to know.
Yeah.
That's Carroll's Cup, Carroll's Corn, subway level of the Kaler Grand Hotel.
Now, your Weather Eye forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
We are expecting a beautiful day. High right around 60 or so with sunshine. Overnight low tonight, 40. Tomorrow, increasing clouds. It's going to be breezy, but we might have a high of 70 tomorrow. A low tomorrow night in the upper 40s with a pretty good chance of scattered thunderstorms. We get to Thursday, a chance of rain early in the day, becoming partly cloudy with a high near 60. Cooler day Friday with a high in the mid-40s. Then we should warm into the low to mid-50s this weekend, and then we should see quite a bit of sun this weekend as well. Downtown right now with the sun, we're up to 51 degrees at KROC AM. It's 6 minutes away from 11 o'clock, and I have to remind everybody, Tom, that if you missed a portion of the show or want to review something or find a whole bunch of really good information, news, weather, sports, whatever it may be, go to carolcam.com. We also have a YouTube channel, and once a week, Rich Peterson, myself, and Kim David get together, and we do a little roundtable discussion of a local, the big local stories of the week, and you can find that on our YouTube channel as well. Just go to carolcam.com and get yourself all connected and like us on Facebook. That's a really easy way to do it. Like us on Facebook. It's coming up on 11 o'clock. We've had a caller on hold, Tom, so we'll go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Brandt calling this morning.
Hello, Dan.
You guys are getting pretty worked up. I think we ought to talk farming for a couple minutes.
Okay.
I heard the nice things Tom said about me, and I thank him for that, but couple points I wanted to make. My farm and the farm I have with my wife, 550 acres, the school referendum costs us $10,600 a year, where a house in Eota is $700. And that's a world of difference in dollars. And we all get one vote. And that's what we're bringing to the public's attention, that it's not fair. And besides that, farmers are hurting right now. If it was 2012, we probably wouldn't bring it up.
All right, Dan. I mean, I know you guys have bills before the legislature, and this is getting serious consideration this year.
Yes, it is.
So keep us up to date on what happens with it. I know it's something that's been on the burner, or back burner, at least for a long time.
Dan, I need more help. You're too quick and smart for me. If it were 2012, what'd you say? You wouldn't bring it up, or what'd you say?
Well, we wouldn't bring it forward because in 2012 we had $8 corn, and we're kind of paying for it now because it was like winning the lottery in 2012. Everybody made money. There was plenty to go around, and now we've got $3.50 corn, and some guys can't. Their operations don't cash flow this year.
And isn't the disconnect too? Because your property values as farmland oftentimes do not match up with the revenue you're making from the crops, and you're getting taxed on the value of the farmland.
That's right. We're getting taxed at 2012 prices, and those prices are long gone. And some guys are going to have to dig into their pockets to come up with their property tax.
Yeah.
And I read that some of the people in your profession and your business are now shifting from corn to soybeans, that's a little better, but then that'll be a supply and demand issue too, won't it, later?
Yeah, absolutely. We go half and half on my farm, so if one's good, maybe the other one's better. But it's going to... Soybeans are cheaper to put in, so that's why they're going with soybeans.
Okay. All right, Dan. So,
anyway, okay. We'll carry on.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks. For the information.
He's a guy who likes us on Facebook, by the way. Yeah. Just thought of that.
Oh, he's a bright guy. He's fun, and he's funny, too. God, he's got a great sense of humor.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, the media. Stacy Singer, a health reporter for the Palm Beach Post in Florida, was pursuing a medical journal story in 2012. a federal epidemiologist report about illness outbreaks in the Jacksonville area, and the Center for Disease Control was involved with this. The serious diseases that are breaking out and a connection to the illegal immigrants. Now, Dr. Ben Carson, maybe a Republican candidate, brought that up, and he was shut down as racist and everything else.
This was tuberculosis, an outbreak.
But this was tuberculosis.
Yeah, I remember this.
But connected to that, and there have been some other illnesses, too. She tried to find out about it. Every level she talked to about the health people, the city and the county and the Center for Disease Control and the federal government, they told her they wouldn't talk to her, or their public relations people said we're not allowed to say anything, or they'd close her down. She filed Freedom of Information documents.
Which is not cheap to do, by the way.
And isn't getting responded. And she said other reporters have talked, too, about that. Birds are being killed by these wind towers and blades on farms, and they're covering that up. The environmental protection people, because it makes they're killing a lot of birds that are on the protected list are being killed.
I don't buy it.
Well, the evidence, I have evidence here.
Okay,
I got 10 pages.
Anyway,
blocking stories.
KROC AM Rochester.